It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're continuing the study in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. We're going to begin reading with verse 25. Acts chapter 2, verse 25. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to send us an email, it would be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will work just fine. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Acts chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 25. Acts chapter 2, verse 25. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. His sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this, before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you. We want your leadership, must have your leadership and your direction. So, Father, I ask that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will be with us, upon us, direct us today, and take us through these precious verses of Scripture, and help us to see what Peter was saying to the folks that was present there at Pentecost, and how that he was trying to connect them with not only the Lord Jesus Christ and his life, the crucifixion, and how that he is God, and how that they too, because of the actions they have taken, are responsible for his crucifixion. And so, Father, please, just guide and lead us through this study today, and I pray that all that are listening will be blessed by your word and by your presence. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at these verses, and I started with verse 25, but actually we have gotten ourselves all the way over to verse 28. And thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. As we study this section, and again, that's the reason that I wanted to read from verse 25, because the one that claimed, and it was true, it was a true proclamation, but he claimed that he was very God, and you nailed him to the cross. He said who he was. He proved that many times over by his actions, by the folks that he healed, by the words he spoke, by the folks he raised from the dead. So many things. But the problem is, they were all looking for a king to take away the burden that Rome had placed upon them. to set them free and allow them to be in the promised land and to live there. That's what they were looking for. And today, most folks, sad to say, are not looking for a Savior. All need a Savior. And there's only one that can save us, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one. He died on the cross. He's taken our sin away. But first, you need to recognize, before it can be put to your account, that you're a sinner, that you're lost. And so, they were looking now at this one that was nailed to the cross. And again, but he who had claimed to be very God had been nailed to a cross. Could he possibly be the Messiah, as he has said? How could it be? He's supposed to stand and sit on his throne and rule and reign. He exchanged a golden crown, a crown of glory, for a crown of thorns. How can this be the promised Messiah? That was the question. That's what they were having so much trouble with. One minute, they're crying out, Hosanna. The next minute, they're crying out, Crucify him. And, of course, that's kind of a mob mentality. Once one person says it, then another joins. You know, we see that today. Most of the folks that are rioting and doing all the nonsense today have no idea what they're doing. They're just following the crowd. Well, don't. Because you need to individually recognize that you're a sinner and you're lost and you need a Savior, and that Savior is the Lord Jesus. And instead of this man that was crucified, this Jesus, instead of taking the throne of David, he had faced a most shameful death, a death of by means of crucifixion. That's the worst. Could he be the King of the Jews? That's what they cried when they came into the when he came into the city. Hosanna. He was a King of the Jews. Could he be the Messiah? Could he be their Savior? And again, they were not looking for a Savior that would take their sin away, that would set them free and allow the Spirit of God to come into their heart to save them. They weren't looking for that. They were looking for a king. That's the reason that this Jesus and his cross has become such a stumbling block. Now, Peter here explains very clearly why that he must be nailed to the cross. And it comes through these words, the words of the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Now, when we see these words here, and again, I'm gonna back up here, and I'm going to start once again with that 25th verse. For David speaketh concerning him, I foreknew the Lord always before my face. Isn't that something? By faith, David was looking forward. And David was seeing in his heart, in his mind, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Now they were thinking that that was David at the time, that he was speaking of himself. But he was not. He was speaking of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he was talking about. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. What wonderful scripture verses here that we see. But it comes down to the precious foreknowledge of God. We find that back in verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath loosed up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Beautiful verses of Scripture. The determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. You see, suffering must precede the glory. All this was prophesied according to the will of God. Now, we're going to look up some scripture here. Let's go back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 18 through 20. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the traditions of your fathers. You need to be careful that you're not just going to the same church that Dad and Mom went to or Grandpa and Grandpa went to. Now, if it's a place where the gospel is preached and folks are saved and the presence of the Holy Spirit is there, yes, stay there and grow and build. But if the gospel is not presented, if the death, burial, and resurrection, if the preaching against sin, you're a sinner, you're lost, you're condemned already, if you don't hear those words and if you don't hear the need to repent, and then trust in the Lord Jesus, then it's time to find a good church home. And so it says right here, received by the tradition of your fathers. Well, they were following of the Jewish folks. They were following of that Jewish religion, and most of that had become all tradition. It wasn't even the original word of God, but when Jesus went to the cross and said, "It's finished," it was finished. It was done. All that was set aside. Oh, the Ten Commandments are there for us as a rule of thumb. I mean, we need to look to that and try to live by them, but that's not going to save you. It's just a good moral thing to do. And as we look at those and we study those, we need to realize that the Jews just kept, Israel just kept adding and adding and adding. You just kind of think it's like the government today. They just, the more laws we have, do you ever wonder how many laws that you've broken today because you didn't even know that law existed? It's so sad. And we find the same thing with Israel here. They just kept adding rules and regulations, and it was all built upon man's thinking, not upon God's way. And so when it speaks here of the tradition from your fathers, that's what it was referring to. But it would still apply today because so often we follow our fathers and our grandfathers and our great-grandfathers instead of allowing the Spirit of God to show us the truth. So I ask that you really pay attention and really take a look at what the truth is. And look at the truth here, because in verse 19 it says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Before the foundation of the world, this was set in place to do. But Peter's saying in our time, we've seen it. It's come to light. We've seen it. We've witnessed it. We've witnessed it. And so, however, the Jews were instruments because of what they did. They were instruments in the death of their Messiah. Therefore, they are guilty of his death. So sad. Peter brings this to a close, and he begins here, and he says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day." Because, you see, they were always confused about those verses of Scripture. They believed that it was talking about David. It says, no, David is still in the grave. He's buried. He's dead. And so we need to see that. And so it tells him there, "Let me freely speak. Let me tell you about the true Holy One, the one that will not see corruption." It's clear to see that we're not talking about David. He is both dead and buried. Now, as we look at these words here, let's kind of take a minute, because it says the patriarch David. That speaks of the head, the ruler of the family. It kind of brings a title of a chief person of the tribes of the nation of Israel. They were that word patriarch was kind of held for them. Peter used it here to show great respect. Let's look at the same prophecies of David. I want you to see. So hold here in Acts. Go back to Acts. We're there. And now let's move over to Psalms. If you're not real familiar with the Bible, the book of Psalms is in the center. So you can kind of hold it open Now, you may have some references and stuff in the back that doesn't make that real clear, but it is the center of our precious Scripture. Psalm 22, and we're going to read verse 1, because here's what David said, and here's what they should have been listening to. Here's what they should have been listening to. They had these scriptures. And it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from me, from helping me, and from the words of my roaring?" Hold there in Psalms, because we're going back there, but we're going to go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. Verse 46. Matthew 27:46, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Look at what David spoke. Back in 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Word for word. See, it was prophesied what the Lord Jesus would say upon the cross. And God the Father used David through the Spirit to record that of what was to come. Let's go to back to Psalms. I ask you to hold on to that same verse of Scripture, Psalm 22:18. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Now when David spoke these words, and these words were recorded, I'm sure that at the time they did not understand that he wasn't speaking of himself. Not maybe understanding, but thinking that they were speaking of himself. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 27, verse 35. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. We love the Scripture. I want you to see that these scribes and Pharisees they knew the Scripture. They knew the Scripture. And as we read this Scripture, we need to understand that not only did David speak of that, but let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah 53. They spoke, they read the book of Isaiah many times in the synagogue. Look at verse 53. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. That is, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. We are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, made the intercession for the transgressors. What a scripture verse to read. What a joy to look at that verse of scripture. Again, he had to suffer first. A crown of thorns before the crown of glory. He came from heaven, served the God, Jehovah God, in doing exactly what he was sent to do, as to live a perfect life, to die on the cross, taking our sins upon him, and being raised from the dead, and then was seen then for 40 days, and then ascended back home to be with his Father. So when we return back to Acts, we see these verses of Scripture. We read from Psalms, from David, and we read from Isaiah, and all these words man had, and yet they still missed him. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God has sworn an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Beautiful verse of scripture. Now, go back once again to Psalms. This time, Psalms 89. Psalms 89. Always an appropriate time to talk about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus and the Old Testament quotes. Psalms 89, verses 3 and 4. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Let's go to Psalms 132. Psalms 132, verse 11. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. You see, God chose David as the line of David, Abraham, David. The line was to come that he would take on flesh. And it was through the lineage of David. We have that so clearly. Let's go to 2 Samuel. I think we got time to read this. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Verse 12. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. And when the days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. And I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house of my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. Listen to that. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of iron and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever. Before thee, thy throne shall be established forever. those verses of Scripture is the promise. This promise was repeated by Gabriel to Mary. And we're going to read that next time. That's where we'll start. Please, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?